Okay, good morning, John.
Good morning, Kathy.
My name's Kathy Kramer, and I'm a member of First Unitarian Church. And today I'm interviewing John Grossman. Today is Monday, March the 6th, 2017, and we are conducting the interview at First Unitarian Church. So, John, why don't we start off with a little bit of story about yourself. Can you tell us a little bit that you'd like to share about your background, like where you were born, your education, family, anything like that?
Well, just for short, I guess I was born in Ohio, and by age two had moved with my parents to Berea, Kentucky. He was had a job and taught at Berea until he died. So I was raised in Berea, although not born there, and as a Kentuckian, went to the University of Kentucky, which had an architectural school, and I wanted to pursue a degree in architecture. So I was there then for over five years to get that degree. After graduating, came to Louisville. That's back in 1967, to work for a firm that I had gotten to know while still in Berea. Was there for 5 years at that firm, Lewis and Henry Architects, and after that established a firm of my own with two partners. We practiced from 1967 really until I retired last year, although the firm did have several iterations, changes of partners, and a little bit of change of mission and projects that we ended up doing. But in that, part of that was getting the commission from the First Unitarian Church to do their building planning and redesign following that fire in 1985. Before that, I had no exposure to Unitarian Universalism, but discovered in working intensely with the building committee and the membership at this church that it was a cause that I believed in completely, and was have followed the church then from that time on, and of course now currently a member at the church, where I have done many things over the years as part of the volunteer efforts here at this church, including the last several years in the financial management as a volunteer, and therefore there may be some questions that I can answer on financial matters as well as the architectural design from my day one with this church.
And how about your family, your wife and your daughters? Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Well, yes, I was married actually still back in when I was in college, and my first wife, whom I had known since high school, together we had three boys, and those three sons are now scattered a bit, one in Biloxi, Mississippi, the oldest, but the youngest is still in Louisville and has a family. So between the middle son and the older son, I have five grandkids at this point. I have remarried back in 1987, or maybe it was 89. She'd have to tell me that, but we've been together ever since and have had two girls who have grown up in the Unitarian Church, have now completed college, or one is about to complete college this term. The other has graduated and gone to California to in computer programming. She's a computer science engineer. Hmm.
And they and your wife, Patty, and your girls, and your mother have all been active in the church for a long time. And your mother just passed, and I remember her being in the choir and active in many ways.
She, too, like myself, sort of fell in love with Unitarianism, and she had been deeply involved in music all her life, mm-hmm. but particularly after she retired, she was a laboratory technician, a microbiologist by profession, and unrelated but of almost equal interest was her interest in music. So mm-hmm. neither of us are accomplished choir singers, but as a choir member, you don't have to be. So she joined the choir a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And once she could not really get back and forth, she persuaded me to bring her, and I joined at that point and have been enjoying choir music here at church ever since.
Well, you all sounded really good yesterday.
Thank you.
Well, why don't we get into the history of the fire and the rebuilding of the so you already told us a little bit about your the architectural firm, and it was Grossman, Chapman, and Kingsley. Is that right?
At that point, Grossman, Chapman, and Kingsley, yes.
Okay. And can you give us a little bit of background on where the firm was at that point and how you got involved with putting a bid on the church? It was, let's see, that was December 13th, 1985, then when the church burned.
That was the burning of the church. I think the church's initial struggle was, well, what would they do mm-hmm. next? Mm-hmm. I know the church had to move out. There was nothing except rubble left of the building, original building. So the church had found facilities outside of this area, mm-hmm. including our West End, mm-hmm. While trying to decide just what to do. And mm-hmm. one of the early things was to hire some professional to guide the process, mm-hmm. guide in coming up with what could be done, what could be done both in the old site, if anything, or if not that, what could be done elsewhere. I think that the challenge was to decide what a Unitarian church in that time period really was, because it had certainly changed from the original building the 100 plus years before that, when the church that burned was a very traditional English, not Gothic, but in a traditional English church mm-hmm. appearance and design. And it had also was traditionally dark, traditionally with bright glass windows, art glass windows, and in a processional, just the center aisle with pews on both sides. A huge organ that had been newly purchased. If you've heard any history about from others about the church, that organ will come up because it had been a massive financial undertaking, and people were most distraught that had burned mm-hmm. when the church burned. So from day one, our firm and I was the lead architect on it, was involved in meeting with the building committee, which had been established by the church, to initially to be interviewed as a firm in order to get the commission in the first place. So we had an interview about what work we were doing, had done, and we had done quite a number of church work, not for Unitarian churches, but for several others, many denominations, Christian and Catholic. And I somehow persuaded this church to give us the commission, and it was at that point that we could actually start talking more specifically about how big was the church, what would Unitarian churches be like, what could they be like, and what should they be like. I think that was uppermost on several minds, because there was the question of, should they just rebuild the church as it was? Should they move elsewhere? Because as a downtown church, many churches had started as downtown churches and then moved to the suburbs as following the members of their congregations. So that was a dilemma. I think my recollection is that after many, many meetings, there developed, at least in my mind, a consensus that if First Unitarian could remain downtown, that would be a greater calling than to search for a site elsewhere or for another building to move into, even if it was remodeled to be a more Unitarian space. And there was a meanwhile, of course, as any architectural would tell you, that you can't do everything that you want to do. It's just too expensive. So our interviewing was actually to create a what we call a program. What is a program? What does the church want to have? Who are they serving, and what could the church expect that cost to be? And we did wild things because of various interests that were here, such as having a carillon. That was a big thing. Rebuilding the organ, or a grand organ. Just trying to think some of the more controversial ideas that cropped up.
What some of the other people have said, of the people we've interviewed, have commented on is how unusual and involved, or interesting, I don't know the word, the way that you gathered information, and that everybody in the church had some input somehow on the design of the church. It wasn't left to a committee or a hierarchy, that somehow you gathered information from everybody on not just the physical space, but the purpose and the program, like what you said.
Yeah, I call it a program. The idea was not to say, well, would you like, and then show you five pictures and you pick the picture you like best for a church. That is not, to my mind, that's not a legitimate way to design mm-hmm. anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was more to try to find a consensus of what sort of building, what sort of church space would Unitarians in this time period
mm-hmm.
be comfortable in and be able to use,
mm-hmm.
because just to rebuild it as it was would put the church back into not even a 19th century, maybe an 18th century space,
mm-hmm.
and that is not where Unitarianism, I discovered, was. at this point in history. So the idea was not to ask, try to discover what the congregation thought it would look like, but more to discover what the congregation was trying to do,
mm-hmm.
and what would suit Unitarianism
mm-hmm.
in the contemporary world. And then from that was a very long and tedious process, and mm-hmm. as you said, Kathy, lots of evening meetings of every possible church group that there was, and there was a very concerted effort by the building committee itself to represent the rest of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, as you say, extensive meetings with as many people as we could, and try to condense that into something of an architectural program that would end up being how much space, at what expense, what type of space, and how would it function. Then the whole idea of architecture, at least in my mind, is to try to create something physical that would represent that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my job.
Yeah.
To try to come up with something that I thought met at least as many expectations as possible, given money, because there was a insurance available and there was a fundraising effort, but not every idea
mm-hmm.
was feasible with the funds available.
Mm-hmm.
And some, like I said, the Carillon we talked about because it was interesting and there were people who really thought that was a great thing to plan for. That would have been hugely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The rebuilding the organ would have been hugely expensive. And trying to accommodate as many seats as had been in the original church would have been hugely expensive. So our job, as I saw it, was to condense that down to what's the size of the congregation, what can you expect, what can you do with the money that's available,
mm-hmm.
and how can that space be designed in such a way as to suit Unitarianism in this day.
Sort of sounds like it was an opportunity for you to learn more about Unitarianism before you actually joined.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that I didn't know what Unitarianism itself was
mm-hmm.
until I got this tremendous exposure,
mm-hmm.
and till I felt comfortable that I
mm-hmm.
understood at least where the congregation was
mm-hmm.
as a whole, as best I could tell it, and that that left me feeling comfortable that what I could come up with would fit that mold.
So this process that you went through of gathering information from the members, had you had done this before with other projects?
It was a process that we used for all of our projects, as a, generally would want to allow space for creating something from the information that we can gather about an upcoming building project, and I say that's as opposed to trying to find pictures that
mm-hmm.
people like, or to ask anybody what would you do architecturally. We don't think that's appropriate, because there's no way to that turns into a mishmash,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't allow the architectural design part, the creative part of that job to happen. So I say I can't explain. Others have asked, well, how do you mm-hmm. design something?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say as I know the answer to that.
Were you, do you recall being surprised by what you discovered or what you learned from the congregation that kind of sticks out in your mind? I know it's been a while, but just through the process of interviewing, gathering information from all these church members.
I don't know that I discovered that I was surprised. I think what I remember now, especially now that it's settled in so well for myself, is that what I found out about Unitarianism so suited what I feel about how a religion can express itself in a building, mm-hmm. that, no, I was not surprised. This is all just as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what about the way, how did your firm work with the other entities, the contractors and the engineers, the other companies?
Interesting, I guess, but it's not something that the client, the church, is particularly involved in. The architect is conceives the project initially, almost without much help, but we are just one of the players, and yes, we're a lead player, of course, but just one of the players in putting a building from nothing into actuality. So for in our case, which was typical for us in our work, we needed to build a structure, particularly here, because we didn't have a structure left. Needed a structure that would be fire sensitive, not made of wood as the old one had been. We needed it to. We wanted the original concept. I think that's what we ended up doing, was to preserve as much as we could of the work that was left after a decision was made not to move elsewhere, not to build a replication someplace else, but would be to try to combine what was left here that's valuable in its own right, but it was just stonework, and it was not structural. It was on the verge of collapse. The city building department had said you should tear it down or it'll fall down, and in fact they forced the church to remove the highest, most unsupported part of the church, the peak on the front on the 4th Street side, because it just was not structurally stable. So of course we had to have experts on structural design to somehow create a building that was going to be able to use the old stonework and capture what was valuable that was left, but make it structurally sound, and then somehow come up with a scheme for a new church that would be indeed a new church, even though it was using some of this old church. So structurally, we had engineers doing the structural analysis, and then we had other engineers doing the systems, you might call it, the heating, air conditioning, plumbing. Mm-hmm. Those are our specialties, and especially in commercial construction. Those are not something the architects normally try to figure out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
We get the support of experts to do that. So once we had, and we had soils people trying to figure out how what could be put back here that would have a foundation sufficient for a new building. I don't think we hired acoustical designers I don't recall doing that specifically, although we often do that in church work. But we had landscape architects to help with choice of design of site work and plantings that we might not ourselves be feel comfortable taking on our own. And the whole process then is to come up with drawings and specifications for what it would take to put a church together. At that point, then we're looking for builders, contractors who we feel are capable of undertaking that particular design, because it's not anybody who could do it. And we had an interview process to select a contractor who could, we thought could manage it. And then, of course, they hire subcontractors, some contractors hire workers. It's a huge effort mm-hmm. by so many people that mm-hmm. to each one contribute what they can contribute towards actually ending up with a mm-hmm. new building.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you had other projects, that your firm had other projects they were working on?
Oh, yeah. We had projects before and after.
Mm-hmm.
This was, because this was my particular one, it was a big part of my effort and my partner at the time working on this particular project.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an intense, other than after we had the interviews you're talking, we were talking about earlier. Then there's the develop a scheme, a design, what might it look like, how much might it cost, and then presenting that back to the church and all of its people,
mm-hmm.
because you don't know, maybe nobody wants to do that after all, even mm-hmm. though we think, but now we feel like this is what First Unitarian should be like. So there was a fairly long period of presentation of what, both visual, just drawings and speaking of what it would be like before the church says, okay, go ahead, have the contractor work on the cost of doing that. And then, of course, once people are happy about it, having them actually dig dirt and salvage the stone. And
So
I don't know, it took a long time.
You did. And so your firm would meet with the congregation, and then sometimes they would meet with the building committee.
Well, we look for a point source, somebody who can speak for the church when decisions have to be made, particularly, well, even early on. Decisions that need to be made, are we going ahead, or are we not going ahead? And once construction begins, then there are the nitty-gritty decisions mm-hmm. that have to be made. We discovered some levels of our scheme, which was incorporating a house that was here historically part of the residential neighborhood of Old Louisville
mm-hmm.
into the stonework of the church that had burned, trying to incorporate those together. And we discovered some levels of flooring were not where we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
So there was redesign with the notorious change order process.
Of change orders.
Well, what about this? Or some second thoughts on what do you want to do? So at that point, having a point group, and here it was the building committee,
mm-hmm.
were responsible for actually getting a final decision on anything
mm-hmm.
that needed to be done.
Is there one part of the rebuilding that just one aspect of it that sticks in your mind that really resonated with you, or it was so? Not so much a challenge. Well, it was a challenge, but it was something that it was really important to you?
Most important to me from day one was to have a new building that would would that you could look back on and say this represented church design in the late 1900s, not church design as it would have been in the 1700s, not even church design as it would have been in the early 1900s, but to make it within the context of our time and have that show, have that be apparent, not just inside. And I've seen many, many buildings that now look like they thought they were, like they think they're an old building, but if you watch them build it, no, they're building it in its own time period, and then they cover that up mm-hmm. to make it look like it was an old building.
Mm-hmm.
And so to my mind, and still, the most important thing was that it be have the integrity to, if it was not an old building, that it would not look like an old building.
Mm-hmm.
So our church now is, the old part still looks like the old part,
mm-hmm.
including soot on the stonework.
In the tower room. That's
in the tower.
That's what we show. I show visitors. I ask them to go to the tower room and look up.
Because that's what it really was,
yeah.
And still is.
Yeah.
But we made no effort to reconstruct it as it had been before.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what we wanted it to do would be come alive as true to its mm-hmm. time slot in history.
Have you ever rebuilt a church like this, where you were incorporating the remains of the old church? Have you done this other places?
Well, this was fairly unique to us for church rebuilding. We have done additions or remodelings of older churches that required a little of that attention, but
mm-hmm.
nothing as dramatic as here.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing, which was not a church, was but in the same vein, was the when the public radios, which had been right next to the church in the basement of our public library,
mm-hmm.
wanted a new building. They found an old building on 4th Street, just down the way,
mm-hmm.
that ironically caught fire and burned to the ground itself, leaving just a shell.
I did not really.
That happened after we'd actually started redesigning it without the fire.
Was
being
that
present.
Near, or was that the site of the old Shackleton's, or near the old Shackleton's store,
yeah,
piano
right,
store?
Right down there.
I did not know that.
So we had some of the same issues of, well, what was that? What is it going to be now? Because it was going, as you say, from a commercial building into a studio, acoustically radio broadcasting studio, quite different
mm-hmm.
uses from how it had been.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the fire that destroyed the whole interior.
Wow.
But again, that was a project I was in charge of. So I wanted to do some of the same things
mm-hmm.
in that case, which was keep what was
mm-hmm.
there, but try to expand on that to be current to the
mm-hmm.
use that it was going to be put to, and the time period that it was going to be.
Was that after the church or before?
That was after the church.
After the
right.
church. Okay. All right. So in your by rebuilding this church, you became acquainted with the ministers, Bob Reed and Richard Beal, and can you recall any stories or about them that sticks in your mind about your, although Bob had Reverend Reed had left his post in August.
He had left before,
yeah.
I guess before the fire.
Yeah, it was in August of 85.
And Richard Beal was here.
They were in the process of finding a new settled minister. So
to add that to the
yeah
the confusion and the decision making. Right. So Richard Beale, the most notable memory for Richard Beale was he's the one who performed My Marriage.
Oh.
Which was, of course, a memorable.
Oh yes.
Event, and connected me even that much more to the church. Richard was he was a character.
Mm-hmm.
He was not. He did not have other churches. The minister can be the pivotal player in every decision, everything that a church does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about other Unitarian churches, but here that was not true. It was the congregation that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Richard was hired to lead the church spiritually, but he was not hired to design a church or to represent the church in the construction process.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no memories of Richard trying to funnel the church towards this thing or that, although I'm sure he had an influence, particularly on where the church was going to be and maybe somewhat in how it could be used.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it'd be all about music, rebuilding the organ, or it'd be all about something. To my memory of it, of Richard, he was more of a intellectually out there person with mm-hmm. ideas, not someone who you might have cared, but it didn't come through that he was concerned about choosing paint colors or choosing
mm-hmm.
details of how a building should be put together.
As I recall, some of the other folks I've talked to mentioned that there were two parallel activities. There was the work of the church, and then there was the work of rebuilding the church. And because they had to keep both of them going strong at the same time, so Richard would be on the church work side, and you were on the renovation, rebuilding side.
That would explain why my memories of Richard Beale were not on the details of what kind of toilets should be and what kind of colors should the carpet look like, and that kind of question. So I can see why. He was doing something else.
Yes. And so you were married here after the rededication, the dedication, or?
Yes, I was married here in the courtyard, was beyond the church that we had money to build. So it was, in fact, that was kind of interesting in that the courtyard itself didn't exist in the original plans.
Really?
Because that was added because church people discovered of the Bingham family mm-hmm. might be interested in helping out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And because that spurred the whole idea of, well, maybe we could create a courtyard from the space that was still was not tagged for anything in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping some of the back end of what was the stonework of their old church. And they agreed. They agreed to fund a courtyard, and that's how it came to be.
Mm. And they dedicated it to Carol Sutton Whaley.
And they dedicated that,
mm-hmm.
and it was all there and complete before mm-hmm. I got married.
Okay.
So I ended up getting married in the courtyard
uh-huh.
by Richard.
And when did you get married? What's your anniversary date?
Only my wife knows. I think of it as Labor Day.
Labor Day, 19...
Well, 1985 or 80... No, I think it was
89.
Even 89,
yeah,
I think it was 1989.
Well, that was close after the dedication, I think that, yeah.
Things were complete, but mm-hmm. very new.
So, to wrap up, are there any other things you'd like to say about being a member of this church, being a member of the choir, your current responsibilities in finances, the people, the building.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know that's big, but is there anything that you would, because I know we could talk for a long time.
About little things, if memory provided the answers. Well, I can say that you wouldn't think architecture and church finance would have any connection whatsoever, but actually it does, and in that I was in the original partnership and running an office sometime with a very similar, with all the same problems and opportunities to as a church. So I had no training in college on business or finance, but in order to support an office for all these many years, I had learned all those little things. And it wasn't any particular interest in numbers. It doesn't play into architecture particularly. But I just had learned to do that, and it's always a stretch to find people who can volunteer in areas that require some technical skills, even if they're unrelated to what I might have been doing, or you might have thought I had been doing. But actually, I had been doing that same kind of thing for many years, as just in operating a firm with the same kind of scale of employees and dollars and all the debit credit stuff that scares most people.
So it sounds like you combined your training and your starting a new business, and they all served you well when you were building this beautiful church.
Well, I hope that's how it's taken. I think the music other people have said, as I grew up even, that architecture and music are very related, and you're asking about, well, where'd the music come from? Architecture and music are related somehow in our brains. There must be some connection, because music's always been very important in my family, as said about my mother, and has been very important to me, even though I've never pursued it to a point of any expertise. But it's definitely something that I've lived with and grew up with, playing in orchestras, playing in the college prep band, never singing. That I blame that entirely on my mother. I was following her, but it's, I think maybe as anybody gets older, they start looking for other things of interest that maybe keep you going. And the vocal choir music turned out to be one of those things for me.
Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end of the interview. I want to thank you for taking the time to let us interview you, and I wish you well.
Thank you very much, Kathy. You're doing a valuable job, I think. I don't know what happens to these archive recordings, but hopefully something of benefit.
They will be here and at the Archives and Records Center at the University of Louisville, and they will be at the Kentucky Historical Society Oral History Commission in Frankfurt. We'll be in three places.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Thank you. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.